The Joint Ways and Means Committee will come to order. I have our newest members' permission to proceed. I think an introduction is in order, Senator.
This is Grace Hannon. She just turned 7. She's in first grade at Grace Lutheran School in Ashland. And she's visiting Grandpa and Grandma this weekend. And she doesn't want to chair the committee, but she does want to balance the budget.
And we are honored to have you.
Mr. Chair, my response was, it's a good thing we have somebody on this panel.
Well, I won't go where I was going to go, Senator. Anyway, we've got a fairly full agenda this morning, so let's move ahead as quickly as we can. Bills for introduction. LC 4127, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that LC 4127 be introduced in the Senate as a committee bill. LC 4127 changes a provision related to the 20% of civil filing fee surcharge that supports public policy dispute resolution services. Under current law, that revenue is transferred to the Department of Administrative Services. This measure eliminates the transfer and provides that the Dispute Resolution Commission will distribute the revenue for public policy dispute resolution services. Subcommittee recommends this bill introduction. It also recognizes that this introduction doesn't necessarily mean that people on that committee, including its chairman, support this idea.
That was an official part of the pony.
You know, I didn't put my glass on. Let me see if I can find the last paragraph.
Any questions, Senator Miller, on LC 4127?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any discussion on the bill? Any objections? Seeing none, LC 4127 is moved to the Senate. I guess with a due pass recommendation.
No, it's just introduction.
Oh, introduction.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's introduced.
Move to the Senate. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5005. Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your General Government Subcommittee is pleased to bring you a small but worthy budget for the Capital Planning Commission. Mr. Chairman and members, on my infrequent visits to Washington, D.C., I have marveled at the federal mall. I have jogged there. I have marveled at the Washington Monument and its proximity to other wonders. We, too, in Oregon have a very nice Capitol Mall. House Bill 5005 is the budget bill for the Capital Planning Commission. The commission is charged with ensuring that capital improvements and land use changes of state agencies on state-owned property conform to a long-term plan of development and that they are consistent with local planning guides, Salem and Marion County, and community interests. The commission is funded solely by an assessment of state agencies based on FTE. The commission's budget is a current service level budget with one enhancement package to upgrade its technology. Your general government subcommittee made some minor adjustments for the reduction in PERS employees' contribution rates, the reduction in Department of Administrative Service assessment, and reduced Attorney General hourly rate. We also reduced the budget by the co-chair's suggested 1%, which was applied to supplies and services. You may have noticed my subliminal emphasis on certain words in that last sentence. Your subcommittee had some concerns about the proposed cost of the technology upgrades. This issue is better dealt with by another committee knowledgeable about technology issues, and that is not a 66-year-old grandpa. That would be someone else. For that reason, the budget report requests that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the $17,000 associated with the technology improvements pending a review by the appropriate legislative committee. The technology improvements were a web page. We thought that was a little spendy. Either the Advancing E-Government Subcommittee during the session or the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology during the interim, one or the other. Your subcommittee recommends the approval of House Bill 5005 as amended, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thank you, Representative. Inflection noted, sir. Any question on the Capital Planning Commission budget? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 5005 is, House Bill 5005 as amended is moved to the, moved to the House with a two-pass recommendation. House Bill 5013, Senator Trow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5013 is the budget bill for district attorneys and their deputies. This budget comes to you with unanimous support from the subcommittee, although we have some concerns about the level of funding. District attorneys are locally elected state officials whose primary responsibility is to prosecute criminal offenses committed within their counties. They also enforce child support obligations, prosecute civil forfeitures, assist juvenile courts, participate in child abuse prevention teams, and are active in local public safety coordinating councils. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $9.6 million general fund. This amount funds a portion of the salary and benefits paid to 36 district attorneys, provides partial reimbursement to counties for deputy district attorney salaries and prosecution witness fees, and pays limited administrative expenses. Overall, counties fund about 82% of the total expenses for the Office of District Attorneys. This recommended budget is a 1% increase from the 9901 estimated expenditures and provides funding necessary for the DAs to continue to provide current services. The subcommittee decreased the governor's budget by $13,509 based on reductions in the PERS employer contribution rate and the Secretary of State's audit charges. The subcommittee unanimously voted to approve this budget. The subcommittee, though, did listen, I think, with concern to the DAs as they talked about the need for additional support in the future for their operation. They believe that the support is not adequate to provide the level of prosecution that we need, and so we did listen. They had a suggestion about restructuring the district attorney's salaries. They divided them into three categories and from the current four categories and had added some additional ones to the top category based on the amount of work that the DAs do. We thought that that's certainly worth considering in the future. We didn't have the money to do it at this point. The subcommittee's second priority was to provide additional resources to defray the deputy DA's costs, and if there were additional dollars, we'd like to do that. But this is a tight budget. It's the one that that we can afford at this point, and so we recommend approval.
Thanks, Senator. Did you come up with any specific add-backs in your deliberation?
I think basically the two things that are in the budget narrative says that if we express a desire to first add funding to restructure the DA salaries to the three things I mentioned, and then the second one would be to add additional money for the deputies if we had it. And so those are the two things.
Right.
And they're in the budget narrative.
I think that's good work. Though I will say that I'm under strict instructions from Marla Ray to say that this budget is generously funded, that they have no need to come back, and they won't ask for an increase again. So.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Marla has spoken.
I'm sure I've read that right here.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I was in the same meeting. That's not the what I heard.
Maybe I'm using sensitive any other questions on the DAs? Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Senator Carno has a bill that was heard in a committee, in the Senate Judiciary Committee that Senator Duncan sits on, and perhaps others, that provides some additional funding back to the local counties at no cost to the general fund. No cost. As a matter of fact, an enhancement to the general fund in order to assist with DA salaries as well as collection of other fees that the DA and the circuit courts are responsible for. It's a win-win-win, triple win, bill that Senator Carno has that was heard in judiciary.
It's co-sponsored by Representative Butler.
Well, we look forward to seeing it in our subcommittee.
And Grace, I'll accept a motion for no mutual backpatting here in the committee. Any further discussions?
Although you're going to get any.
Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if there's any discussion the subcommittee, I think it's a good budget. I am curious about the priorities of addbacks, though, given what the senator indicated the discussion was about the operational problems that DAs are having in the counties. And was there any discussion in the committee about the fact that the district attorneys got a fairly large salary increase in the interim from the e-board?
I'm sure we did talk about that. I think that even considering that, the need, I think, was presented as being rather substantial. You should have heard the gentleman from Bend who testified at Senator Clarno's suggestion. He did a tremendously good job and pointed out the need for additional funding despite that.
Just a comment for, I appreciate that all the work they do, and certainly in my county, it's a huge job, and the organizational skills one needs are amazing, I think, to put all these different disparate law enforcement and public safety people together. But I have a concern when we hear about the travails of the operations of the district attorney's offices, and then the top priority is to increase salaries when there are operational problems. And I was on the public safety sub last session and had much the same testimony, and then I also found that this was their top priority. So I didn't read right with me, and I go back to 1997 Senate Bill 6, report on district attorney finance in Oregon, and they say that the district attorney finance in Oregon is straining county resources in relation to other needs and left district attorneys with a resource shortage for different aspects of their general operations. That comes through, came through in 97, came through in 99, apparently came through in your committee's hearings. And then the top priorities that seem to be the issue, or at least on page 17 of this document, is that there's an insufficient number of deputy district attorneys, an insufficient number of support staff, inability to maintain stable staffing among the deputy district attorneys, inability to modernize integrated data systems, inadequate opportunities for training personnel, so on and so on. There's about 20 of these recommendations. And none of them are to raise the salary or restructure the schedule a little bit. So I guess I have a concern about, what are the true priorities for our district attorney's offices, and would hope that as we deliberate on that near the end of session, we keep that in mind, and those who are going to be here in the future, keep that in mind also.
I certainly I wouldn't disagree with looking broadly at the problem and looking at what else we might need to do. I do think they made the case, though, for both DAs and deputy salary increases. I think that they're very much needed, and some places salaries are pretty good, but most places they're not.
Senator Hannah.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I think the representative's comments are more reflective of the county's priorities than the DA's priorities. I think the counties since 1980 have almost cried the blues over the fact that they wanted the state to take over the costs of the district attorneys, their deputies, and the staff, and everything else. So I think it's important to put it in proper perspective that the priorities that you read there are more in line with county commissioners' priorities than certainly the DA's. I think for the DA's taken separately is probably wages, and that's the distinction between the two. I think the county commissioners would rather that the state take over more administration of the district attorney's office, including the deputies and the staff.
Thank you.
Got a question.
Any other discussion? Representative Hansen.
Brief point. I think Senator Hanlon is correct in terms of maybe the difference between the county's perspective and the DA's perspective. One of the critical things, though, is with Oregon's 36 counties, there's real differences in variances. It's hard to compare the district attorney operation in Multnomah County with Sherman counties. They're worlds apart. But I think the district attorney's recommendation really reflects the growth that's occurred in certain counties in Oregon. as you look at those 36 counties, each one's district attorney needs probably are both dramatically different from the other counties, but the grouping of the high growth counties that have really seen a lot of growth in the last decade, that's probably where the emphasis is on this regrouping of the salaries for district attorneys, that some have went from being relatively modest operations into being pretty substantial ones. And this would recognize that correction. And it's probably not an earth-shaking correction in how we're doing business, but it's certainly an important step for maybe five or six middle-sized counties that have seen a lot of growth.
Thank you, Representative Schrader. Well, I would suggest that's probably a good testament that we probably should have a pilot project for Deschutes County and see if we could do this and see if that would work.
It's buried in the bill.
Other questions? Any other discussion?
Deeply.
Any objections to passing House Bill 5013 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5019, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5019 is a budget bill for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. The agency is charged with enforcing government standards and practice law reflected related conflicts of interest issues. The agency also enforces lobby regulations and the provisions of the Oregon Public Meetings Law related to executive sessions. Additionally, the commission educates citizens and public officials about these laws. The recommended budget for the commission is $672,630 general fund and $9,662 of other funds. The other fund expenditures are supported by revenue from charges for printing and distributing public documents. The budget is 3.3% decrease from the 1999-01 estimated expenditure and is a third of a percent below the current service level. Now, this budget includes technical adjustments for assessment rate reductions, also reduced by $16,645 due to a one-time allocation of last biennium for information technology package, and the commission assures the subcommittee that the last component of that package, which is a website, would be completed in place before the end of the current biennium. Now, the general government subcommittee directed the commission to pursue using, in all cases and circumstances possible, alternative dispute resolution services to assist in lowering the Attorney General's expenditures. In that regard, the Commission was also encouraged to explore the use of video conferencing to communicate with rural locations. The subcommittee does approve this committee's recommendation to approve House Bill 5019 as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hartung.
I need to declare a potential conflict of interest. I served as chairman of the Ethics Commission in the 80s, and currently I'm involved in a lawsuit with them, so I have an interest in this.
Well, you're an exceptionally good company, sir. Any further questions? Any further discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 5019 as amended to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. I notice as we look out into the audience today, we have another visitor to our august capital, and she is here to keep Grace Hannon company. This is Vanessa. And stand up and give us a wave, or at least give us a wave. We don't mean to embarrass you, but we sure appreciate you being in the Capitol today. House Bill 5020, Oregon Judicial Department, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5020 is the budget bill for the Oregon Judicial Department. The Judicial Department consists of the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, the Tax Court, the Office of the State Court Administrator, and circuit courts that are located in each county. The department is also responsible for providing indigent defense, interpreter, and jury services. The budget is an increase of 11.9% above the 99-01 estimated expenditures, primarily as a result of 1999 legislation that increased juror compensation and from indigent defense caseload growth. The subcommittee approved the governor's budget, which is a reduction of 2.4% below the current service level. This is a reduction of $9.8 million general fund. The budget includes standard assessment reductions and $2.9 million in additional and other and federal funds and 22.16 FTE, primarily for Multnomah County parking collections and Oregon Judicial Information Network Enterprise programs. The subcommittee restored $3.7 million general fund to correct a PERS adjustment error in the governor's budget. The budget report identifies a variety of critical funding issues, including support for programs funded with limited duration positions during the 99-01 biennium, including drug courts, juvenile justice programs, and family courts, support to continue limited duration positions for improvements to the Oregon Judicial Information Network, and funding for new judgeships and increased judicial compensation. The subcommittee will consider funding for these issues if additional resources become available. The subcommittee recommends approval of the budget of $400,385,050 general fund, $11,483,362 other funds, $455,138 federal funds, $1,716.64 FTE for the judicial department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator. Mr. Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I understand that there's some sort of intense discussion going on about indigent defense and what kinds of crimes we are required to pay indigent defense for, that perhaps we're paying for defense of crimes that we're not obligated to pay for. That's a policy discussion, but it seems as though it might have some fiscal ramifications, and I was wondering if any of that came before the committee. I noticed you cut out $4 million and $4.5 million in indigent defense.
I think you are, Mr. Chairman and Senator Dukes, that that's obviously a policy discussion, although it would be sure controlled by what the Constitution would require, I think. That we need to afford counsel to those who would face some kind of jail, some incarceration. I don't know if there's a way not to afford counsel for those who are entitled to representation in the event they could be subjected to incarceration. So I don't know what policy discussion is going on, probably in Judiciary Committee. And it may be a test as to whether or not someone not able to finance their own counsel. I'm not aware of that.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Any other questions? Oh, Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I mean, I'll support this budget, but I think we really need to be looking ahead a little bit and doing something to enhance the salaries of judges. You know, I think a person coming out of law school today commands, you go to one of the better firms in Portland, your first year out of law school, you make more than a judge does. And I frankly think it's disgraceful. I think we should be trying to attract some of the very, very best talent to the judgeships. And I know we maybe can't do it right here, but I guess just getting on the record a little bit, I think we should be thinking ahead a little bit about enhancing those, making that a much more attractive position for very, very talented people. And I am concerned in my county, we seem to tie everything to the staffing to the judge. And I know in many cases, because we do not have courtroom facilities available, we're using a lot of other people, and because of that, we're not able to provide the staffing for it. So there's a real staffing problem I know within my county. And I just wanted to just bring that to your attention, Mr. Chair. Maybe in the future somebody will take care of it.
Well, I appreciate the forward-looking comment. You know, my glasses are for near-sighted, short-sighted, behind rear-view mirror vision.
Yeah.
However, these glasses are visionary,
yeah,
forward-looking, macro. So we'll see. Maybe that won't help focus the problem.
I'm not sure what you said, but I think it sounds good.
Yeah. Did it come out all right? Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to commend the subcommittee for their work. I think if people read the
package, they gave a whole statement of priorities on how to do some restorations and recommended that this be one of the budgets that is enhanced. Should some revenue become available, I would agree with that, and I'd encourage members of this committee to look at those priorities and the ad because I think that they're important. I didn't speak on the DA budget because I felt like a lot of people had spoken on that and wanted to move forward, but I would agree on both of these budgets in DA salaries and judge salaries with Senator Duncan. We have first-year law school students who come out and make more than elected DAs and elected judges, and I think it's critically important that we retain some of the best and brightest because it is a professional position and people need to be knowledgeable and they need to be compensated so we can attract our best and brightest and do some of these things. So I certainly appreciate it, and I do appreciate the work Senator Miller's committee did because I think they really kind of laid out for in the future how we can add some of these things back.
Good comments, Representative.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A lot of real good work went into this budget. There's good staff work, good work from the judiciary. In spite of all the good work, it's an inadequate budget because there's just not enough resources. But that's the reality that we're going to be dealing with in a lot of areas. Those priorities, though, are incredibly important. And I think hopefully there will be another time when we can go back and refocus on those because there's the family courts, the drug courts, judicial salaries, all are very important issues. And I think there's a real feeling on the committee that we wish we'd had more resources to put into those things.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Troll.
I just agree with the previous comments, and we did listen to the Chief Justice talk about the priorities, and he said that for a number of years, one of the chief priorities has been to increase the salaries of circuit judges and other judges, that we rank 49th among the states in terms of the salaries that we provide, and we're at least $10,000 below the national average for salaries for judges. And one of the detrimental effects of not compensating judges that much is that you remove a list of people who might otherwise be the top candidates for judgeships because of the economic considerations they have to make sometimes if they want to move forward to do this. And so and it also has something to do with the status of judges in our society in terms of how well they're paid. So I think he made certainly a very good case, and I'm sorry that we're not able to do something about that this time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman, members, I make a comment here because the leadership in the Senate raised some issues early on in regards to some of the decisions that the courts have rendered that have cost us money over the different years, i.e. overtime for public employees and some of the other issues. There was discussion early on about taking out some frustration on this budget because of insensitivity by the court in some of these cases. I think it's important to note that the subcommittee did not do that, and I commend them for not doing that because although there's probably not one of us that can't find some fault or disagreement with the court on some issue or issues, it is not an issue that should be used in the budget to show our disagreement with the court or a particular decision. And so I really want to take this opportunity to thank the subcommittee members for not succumbing to that, because it would be easy to take out your frustration and say, I'm going to show the court my displeasure with a certain decision or render of a policy that's been given, and so I'm going to cut their budget to show them where I stand. And I know it's a difficult position that the subcommittee was put in, and I want to thank the subcommittee's work, both the senators and the House members who worked on this budget and did not succumb to his pressures.
Thank you, Senator. Any other discussion? Senator Miller.
This is kind of a wrap-up to, and I appreciate the discussion that's gone forward. Tremendous amount of thanks to our staff, Robin Lamont, but also to the Chief Justice and Kingsley Click, who made very effective presentations in the subcommittee and were very gracious and understanding of the situations we find ourselves in. But I think, and particularly the Chief Justice, feels very badly about some of the decisions we are forced into, but it's really his handwriting on the add-back list that he remains hopeful of having acknowledged at some point.
Thank you, Senator. Do not take for granted justice. Any objections to moving House Bill 5020 to the floor of the House for the due pass recommendation? Excuse me. Any objections to moving House Bill 5020 as amended to the floor of the House as amended? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5540, Public Defender, Senator Miller.
Senate Bill 5540 is the budget bill for the state public defender. The public defender provides legal representation to indigent defendants when trial court judgments are appealed. The subcommittee approved the governor's budget, which is a reduction of 2.4% below the current service level. This is a reduction of $141,785 general fund and 1.3 full-time equivalent positions. The budget includes standard adjustments for assessment rate reductions and is also reduced by $11,000 for a one-time allocation for training and programming services. The budget includes a policy option package that deletes one position and transfers $64,996 to services and supplies. The approved budget is a reduction of 0.4% in two positions below the 9901 estimates. The subcommittee heard reports on the progress made by the public defender in addressing management issues that had resulted in several emergency board appearances, including the backlog and pending appeals. The public defender has implemented a number of improvements, including a case management system, and is working with the Judicial Department Indigent Defense Services Division to identify ways to address the case backlog within existing resources. The budget report identifies restoration of the governor's current service level reduction as a high priority for consideration should additional resources fall from the sky. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends a budget of $5,740,646 general fund and 38.7 FDE. We recommend approval.
Could you give us a little... Could you discuss the technical budgeting term of fall from the sky?
It's something Grace handed down.
Oh, if it's Grace, is it, you know. Any questions on the public defender's budget? Any discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5540 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none? Ordered. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 331, Senator Hartung.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 331 creates a new nursing services program to address the critical nursing shortage in rural Oregon. The program repays the student loans of nurses who serve in critical shortage areas. Under the nursing services program, the state will repay the student loans of nurses who practice for at least 2 years in a community identified by the Office of Rural Health as having a critical nursing shortage. All student loans taken out for nursing education can be repaid up to a maximum of $8,800 per year. A full-time nurse is eligible to have 1 year of student loans repaid for each year they practice in the shortage area, up to a four-year maximum. The state currently has a program for nursing students who anticipate serving in rural areas, but this program has not proved to be effective. The new nursing services program replaces the existing program and is designed to be more effective by focusing on nurses who actually take positions in the shortage areas. The program is modeled on a similar loan repayment program for physicians, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners. The bill transfers $315,000 in the Student Assistance Commission budget out of the old nursing program to finance the new program, and the commission supports this transfer. Nursing salaries are generally lower in rural areas than in urban areas. Because of this, students with high debt loads are often unable to accept positions in rural areas. By paying off a nurse's student loans, the new program will help address this program. The subcommittee included a budget note requiring the Student Assistance Commission to report to the Ways and Means Committee next session on the new program's performance and to develop specific performance targets for the program. Your Senate Education Subcommittee recommends approval of SB 331 with the dash two amendments.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions on Senate Bill 331? Any discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 331 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. I'd like to very sincerely, very seriously compliment the committee this morning. I thought we had some of the best discussion we've had to date. There are some very significant budgets and issues that we're approaching here today, and I thought the committee excelled. On an even more serious note, I'm sure that's because of the wisdom and maturation. In fact, I've never seen a more somber, mature committee, and that's only because of the addition of Grace and Vanessa. So we appreciate you being here.
We are, and Beth